Please call a roll.
Adams, Leonard, Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 320, accept park system development charge methodology report for implementation and amend the applicable sections of code.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. It's a pleasure today to bring forward my final proposal for updating the Portland Park System Development Charge for parks, trails, and natural areas. It is a critical funding piece in our ongoing efforts to respond to population growth in Portland. As we all know from our daily experiences, parks relieve the pace of urban living in our city and are essential elements that create a vibrant, family-friendly city. Portlanders have told us again and again, whether it's the auditor's yearly service efforts and accomplishments report or at the ballot box, that access to parks, trails, and natural areas is extremely important. As we've seen, that recognition of our green infrastructure is also held by the private sector as well. Our business community consistently supports public and private investment in our parks, and to that we deserve a big, to our public and to the business private investors, they deserve a big thank you. They recognize that Portland's leadership in being a city of parks and knows it adds to the quality of their employees' life. I've heard consistently from both members of this council and the public that Portland should not have the highest SDC rates in the region, and I agree. We must maintain a competitive advantage. When this proposal is fully implemented in 2010, Portland will be in the middle of the pack when combining all our system development charges, ninth or tenth out of about 17 metro jurisdictions. A significant part of this new program is strategic acquisition and development plan for parks SDC investments. This plan sets the priorities for new parkland, park enhancements, natural area restoration, and trails in areas of growth throughout the city. Staff will go into more detail in that shortly. You may recall that the extensive process Parks has been conducting over the past 2 years. This process included a diverse task force that grappled with extensive, often mind-numbing details and calculations. With their expertise and input, we refined the initial proposal to address the concerns of council and to those of the community. And it truly was this continued dialogue that created the final proposal before us today. A great example of how listening will work with our community. So I just wanted to highlight real quickly some of the changes we made, and again, we'll touch upon those in the presentation as well, but in response to what we heard last time at council and in meetings with many people in the community, we have made three significant changes. One is we have we will delay the implementation until January 1st, 2009, and it will be phased in over 2 years, the SDC. Two is for the commercial sector. The SDC will only be assessed on actual additions of new square footage, whether through remodeling or new construction. It will not be assessed on for changes of use of a structure. So it's really only the net addition of area that will be assessed the SDC. And then finally, we have reduced our inventory, the target of property we were to acquire with this SDC fund. We've reduced that inventory. We've eliminated golf courses. We don't think we're going to need any more golf courses in the city. We eliminated the need for another raceway. We think PIR is fine. And we've also added in hydro parks as part of the inventory, and we've added in some more need for trail connections. So we've added some, but we've taken away much more than we've added. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Zary Sandner, Parks Director.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the council. We have a 20 to 25 minutes maximum presentation. And before I start my presentation, this would be the last opportunity that I will have before this council, before Commissioner Stan retires. And I want to express the Bureau and my personal appreciation of your service to the city and this council, and we will miss you. I'm very, very pleased to bring back to you a final proposal for the update of the park system development charges. Since we met with you last December, we have been working on addressing many of your comments, suggestions, and we have actively been gathering feedbacks and additional suggestions from community. As was mentioned, excuse me, to you last December, we had extensive public outreach. We met with over 46 business and community organizations. We had held 7 open houses, 12. We held 12 task force meetings, and we, as you recall, we met with you in December, and that was a public hearing where public had the opportunity to express their opinion and suggestions on the proposal. And we've been listening to very, very strong voices, and I believe we have been responsive to many suggestions and the voices that were raised. And this refined proposal is the product of many hours of work with our business leaders, parks advocates, and neighborhood leaders. One thing to just put in perspective is that SDCs are one part of a balanced funding strategy for Portland Parks and Recreation. I would like to remind you that the SDC funds are especially valuable because they provide a powerful tool for us to leverage the monies for capital improvement, either acquisition and improvements for new parks. And as we have shown historically in the past 10 years, we've been able to double, to leverage twice as much from every SDC funds that we have collected. Commissioner Saltzman did a great job of highlighting some of the changes that are that we heard about, and Robin Grimway will be walking you through our proposal. But as Commissioner mentioned, this proposal seeks a 75% recovery rate, and so that new development, residential and commercial, contribute a share of the cost to respond to the growing demands for our park system. And as a way of easing the impact of the new rates, the proposal recommends a 2-year implementation starting in January of 2009. We also heard from the public about, and some of you, in fact, Commissioner Adams specifically asked this question, how are these funds are going to be used? So as part of our presentation, you will get a sense of where are the strategic and targeted areas for the investment of the SDC funds. We re-examined our inventory to make sure we had the right properties included. And as was suggested by Commissioner Leonard, we have added hydro parks and refined the inventory of city-owned properties and adjusted our trail demands as well. So before I turn to Robin Grimway, I would like, and I'm very pleased to introduce Joey Pope, who's wearing two hats today. She is, as you know, and she has been before you, a member of the Parks Board, but she was also on the task force. Before I turn to Joey, I would like to express my gratitude and appreciation to the work of task force. They were stellar members of a variety of community organizations and business organizations. They worked very, very hard, and they kept their constituents and group involved, and we received a lot of good suggestions from them that we hope that we have has been reflected in this proposal. I want to thank Joey as well, because Joey will be leaving the Parks Board in this year, and she has been a tremendous help to the Bureau. But her passion is really creating a vital and livable city, and she recognizes the importance of parks and recreation in having that a livable city. So with that, I turn to
you. Thank you, Zeri. When I go on to my next career, I'll remember that. Thank you. I would like to focus on the long-term picture of Portland's park system, which has become Portland's signature. We are here today to ensure that our beloved open space, trails, and recreation system will be as healthy and accessible in 20 years as it is today. But first, two references to specifics. One is the 75% recovery rate, which perhaps is an effective doubling, not tripling, of the current. It is a compromise, and you will hear from those who want it to be higher, who think we shouldn't settle for anything less than 100% recovery. I understand their compassion, their passion, and their commitment to full funding, and in fact, given my druthers, I agree with it. However, I embrace this compromise as I think that it is right for the time, and it's one which allows for a significant step forward. Number two, we have heard about fairness. As opposed to expecting existing residents to pick up the costs of newcomers, I believe it is fair and, in fact, to be expected that these newcomers share in the cost of the development which occurs in their behalf. And balance. Zeri alluded to this. This proposed partial SDC cost recovery will have to be augmented by levy, bond, and or general fund monies in order to bring these areas up to the vision articulated by Parks 2020. So we're talking now with this SDC as part of a balanced funding picture, which brings me to my final point, which is the long-term picture and its vision. Vision, in my estimation, has two parts to it, each of equal significance. One has to do with the articulation of a future best case, an articulation of a dream. And I think we've done that in many areas in Portland very well. Secondly, and I think we do this pretty well too, but it is an equal component to vision, and that is the willingness and the courage to put into place these strategies now, not at some amorphous time in the future, but now, and in spite of valid and immediate concerns to postpone. It has to do with the willingness to step up to the issue in a forthright and compassionate and courageous fashion. So I urge and I commend each of you for your willingness to make what for some may be an unpopular decision, but it is a decision in the best interests of the future of Portland. Thank you.
Mayor, Commissioners, Robin Grimwood, Manager of Strategy, Finance, and Business Development with Portland Parks. Before I start, it's my understanding that you had a long morning, and would you care for an abridged version or a full version of the presentation? Because I also know you have a number of people who want to testify, and time commitments are such. I hear one abridged.
I think you heard abridged.
Thank you. First of all, I'd want to just provide a little bit of context when we look at park SDCs, and we go back to Parks 2020 Vision, which is the guiding document for the establishment of an integrated, sustainable park system for the city. And this vision statement gives four key directions to Parks 2020. It's about increasing access to neighbourhood and community parks. It's about maintaining the current ratio of parkland to population. It's about protecting and restoring natural areas, and it's about providing safe and convenient trail access. In terms of park system development charges, just so that we're all on the same page in terms of the role of this SDC, it's about a one-time fee on new development related to growth. It is also about addressing some of the costs of our park services. And for every $1 of park SDC, we are currently leveraging an additional 83 cents in other funds. And as Zeri indicated, it's part of an overall funding strategy. What have we done with the money that we've raised from SDCs to date? Well, so far we have been able to acquire through the assistance of these fees from developers. The fee has been $18.3 million so far in SDC. We've acquired 281 acres of new parkland, and we've been able to develop 10.4 acres of parks. The distribution has been widely spread throughout the city, as indicated by this map. Why are we updating the SDC? In essence, there's two key reasons. One, by 2020, we're projected to have an additional 70,000 new residents and 100,000 new employees. These are projections provided by Metro Regional Council. The current SDC park fee is currently also only recovering 25% of the cost to develop and acquire new parks, and we currently don't recognise the impact of employees on the park system. The significance of the SDCs in terms of funding is demonstrated by this pie chart, where we see that SDCs generate 32% of the funds for the capital expenditure of the Parks Bureau. The next most significant is the one-time funding and general funding CIP program. And shortly we will see the demise of the levy and the programs in there. So a lot of our capital funding disappears. This chart here indicates where we're expecting growth to occur. It's primarily going to see major concentrations in the central city, inner southwest, along I-5 and I-205 corridors, and outer southeast. At the same time, we will see the ongoing infill occurring throughout the city, which will add to the demand for further new recreation and park opportunities. The key proposed changes: increasing the rate to recover up to 75% of costs, creating a tiered fee structure to reflect the higher costs in the central city. So we have the central city, which encompasses South Waterfront, Pearl District, River District, downtown, out to the Lloyd Centre, and then the rest of the city. It's also including new commercial development. The timeline, this is a process that's been going for approximately 18 months to 2 years, and we're currently now at the stage of presenting a firm proposal to City Council for their consideration. Throughout the process, we've heard a lot of commentary, both for and against the Park SDC. The most significant of these is that people firmly believe that parks are essential to Portland's economy, the environmental health, and the livability of the city. They also recognise SDCs as being a necessary tool to achieve the community vision for parks, that employees in Portland who live elsewhere add to the growing demand for new parks, that a tiered fee structure of central city, remainder of the city makes sense. There was certainly a lot of discussion about what is the right recovery rate and when will the new charges be applied, how would the funds be used, what new parks would be provided. There was also concerns into looking at offering ways to transfer SDC credits, would exemptions for affordable housing and small business be available, again, when the new charges would be applied, how would they be implemented. One thing that came out was the inventory, and this was an issue of considerable concern to a number of people, and there were some really good commentary and suggestions made. And that it's important when we look at the inventory, we recognise that the Portland Parks and Recreation Bureau is one of a number of organisations that provide open space for park and recreation purposes. Other providers include Metro Regional Parks, the Oregon State Parks, and according to Trust for Public Lands data, collectively those organisations, in addition to the parks, Portland Parks and Recreation, in 2006 provided approximately 25 acres per 1,000 residents. And of that, Portland Parks contributes to some 19.9 acres per 1,000 residents. In addition, it was also acknowledged that there are other organisations such as school districts and other government agencies and city agencies like the Water Bureau and BES whose land serves a secondary purpose in terms of providing for park and recreation purposes. The fundamental difference between those lands and the lands provided by Metro, Oregon State Parks and Portland Parks and Recreation is that they are not necessarily set and available in perpetuity for public recreation purposes, nor is it the primary purpose of those agencies to provide for public recreation. Accordingly, Portland Parks and Recreation and other providers have to date not factored such lands into their park inventories. However, we firmly believe that these properties do provide an important contribution, and as such, this Bureau is taking a lead nationally to move from a standards-based approach to a needs-based approach, which also seeks to secure lands which provide park services by way of perpetual easements and other agreements as an alternative to acquisition. This time around, we have added other City Bureau lands, such as hydro parks, to our inventory. We have also, on the basis of a needs-based approach, deleted from the inventory the need for golf courses and PIR. Clearly, market research, particularly in relation to golf courses, is indicating that demand is far lower than the supply we have. And we're currently seeing two private golf courses selling and seeking to go to alternative uses, and we have adequate capacity within the public system to sustain an additional 70,000 rounds of golf if every new resident wanted to play golf. Therefore, we've deleted that from the inventory. Our response, recovery to all these issues, 75% two fee levels we've heard about. Our fee rates are lower than were initially proposed in December. We're looking at strategic priorities for new parkland and development of park facilities. We've certainly adjusted the inventory to reflect the market demand and existing capacity. We've refined our credit transfer plan. We've made affordable housing exemptions, and we have phased the implementation. And we have also carefully structured how our new commercial SDC would apply to business. The proposed fees are outlined here. Single-family residential, central city, they'd be 7,669, citywide 7,600, multifamily residential 4,933, citywide 4,988. The commercial rate would be 371 in the central city and 161 citywide, reflecting the differential costs in terms of development and acquisition. How do we compare? If you look at just purely park SDCs, we are currently 14th within the jurisdiction. The 17 metropolitan area jurisdictions. There's 15, we come in 15 when you apply all the SDC charges. Our proposed park SDC moves us up in terms of purely park SDCs to 4th and 6th and 9th and 10th within total SDCs. The potential revenue that we will arrive at from the implementation of the proposed SDC package after we take into account affordable housing is in the vicinity of $239.6 million. That money will enable us to acquire 152 acres, develop 226 acres, acquire 36 acres of trails, develop that 36 acres of trails, look at acquiring 557 acres of natural areas, restoring 80 acres of natural areas. All up, we will be able to acquire 745 acres and develop and restore 342 acres to meet the growing needs of the city. One of the issues that was raised was to have a clear plan to show how that investment would be spent. And considerable time has been spent working on this and interrelating it to the vision of Parks 2020. And what this map shows here is that the dark green reflects our parks over 4 acres in size, which act as a local access park. The lighter shading around them is what we call the service district, and this is a service district within 10 to 15 minutes of walk to that particular park. The white gaps indicate the non-provision of parks that are able to meet the community needs. Either we have a 1 acre or 2 acre holding, it may be a school district, or there may be absolutely nothing. So what we've done in looking at where do we make this investment is we have sought at this point in time not to look at making investments into the area where schools occur, because we are in active discussion with the school districts with a view to bring their open space effectively into the park system by way of perpetual easements negating the need for significant capital upfront investment in acquisition. So this map just deals with how we want to allocate the funds in terms of acquiring land to meet the needs where there are no parks currently in operation for the community that exists there today and the growth that is expected to occur. The next map shows the areas that we want to target for natural area acquisition, and in particular around Forest Park in Outer East, around the Johnson's Creek, Clatsop Butte area, and around Tryon Creek. The next map shows that the parks that we want to target for development, and our ability to develop here is very much dependent upon how much we can effectively leverage those SDC dollars. So what we're looking at doing with SDC is bringing in a basic level of service to all our new parks and then value adding through the leveraging to bring us up to full park development. The next map just explains the four or five areas that we want to target for natural area restoration. Natural area restoration takes a considerable amount of time. We have these four key sites, Forest Park, Johnson Creek, Westmoreland and Oaks Bottom, currently under restoration programs. The SDC enables that to continue to reflect the impacts of additional use in those areas. And finally, the trails system. A regional trail strategy was approved by Council last year. This shows where we will be seeking to direct SDC monies to leverage the acquisition and development funds that we need to bring about the realisation of that regional trail system. And here we have the potential to use a limited amount of SDC funding to gain a substantial capacity to effectively leverage another $100 million to bring about the regional trail system. Overall, what we're seeking to do with our SDC investments is that we want to increase the percentage of the population within walking distance of a park by about 20%. This is what SDC should enable us to do. This brings equity to a large component of the population that currently does not have equitable access to a park. It talks about, or it will enable us to realise the goal of increasing protected habitat from our current 1,400 acres to approximately just over 2,000 acres, and it enables us to increase the miles of developed trails by 35%. Overall, a significant achievement towards making the realisation of the community's vision. That's the end of the presentation.
Any questions? Okay, I guess we can go to testimony.
We'll be here.
We have 11 people signed up.
Okay. Please call the first three names.
Marianne Nelson, Bob Solinger, and Mike Houck. They'll be followed by Robert Jordan, Mary Walker, and Greg Peden.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
Marianne Nelson, 1426 Southeast Rural Street in Portland, Mayor Potter and City Council. I saw the ad in the Oregonian for the Great Parks, Great Cities speaker series sponsored by the Portland Parks and Recreation. It said, Portland is a leader in the national movement to reinvigorate cities through the greening of the urban environment. Parks and natural areas are at the forefront of this movement, recognized as essential to both the economic and physical health of the community. I would like to ask each of you two questions. One, do you want Portland to have and maintain the position as a leader in the national movement to reinvigorate cities through the greening of the urban environment? Two, do you believe that parks and natural areas are essential to both the economic and physical health of the community? If you would answer yes to both of those questions, then you must vote yes for the proposed increase in park SDCs. I would like to remind Council that although Portland is perceived as a leader in the greening for the environment, Portland is below the regional average in terms of neighborhood park access. And even this proposal, if it passes, is likely to fall short in getting us to the park's 2020 vision. Portland has a great reputation because it has had a great vision, but it won't do us any good to set high goals for ourselves if we don't measure up to them. At the last hearing, I spoke to you about my experience as president of the Parks and Recreation Board in the city of Elgin, Illinois, at a time when we increased park impact fees to cover 100% of the cost of parks needed for new development. I said that if a city of 100,000 people in Illinois could do it, certainly Portland, Oregon could do it. The big difference between these two cities is that Illinois does not have urban growth boundaries, and Elgin is annexing greenfields. Park acquisition and greenfield development is much easier, but that makes it all the more important that Portland, which must find parks and natural areas within a growth boundary, have the necessary funding to purchase appropriate property when it is available. As Portland grows, the funding must be there to implement the park's 2020 vision. Population is growing by over 5,000 people a year, and land prices are currently on the rise. If Portland is to remain a livable city as we grow, we must ensure our neighborhoods are adequately served by new parks, trails, and natural areas. I realize that when parks are part of the city's structure, they must compete in the city budget with other important citizen needs like safety and transportation. But again, that is another reason for a separate pot of money like SDC's. Growth should pay for itself, not be a burden on the general operating budget of the parks or of the city. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and City Commissioners. My name is Bob Salinger, and I'm here today representing the Coalition for a Livable Future, which represents 80 organizations committed to healthy and equitable communities. I'm also here representing the Audubon Society Portland and our 10,000 members. I represented both organizations on the System Development Charge Committee, and I begin by noting that I was really impressed with that committee. Parks did not appoint just traditional allies. It wasn't a rubber stamp committee. It was a committee made up of people that were also potentially opposed to the SDCs, and we really beat this thing up. We went back to fundamental assumptions and looked at the targets, looked at the costs. We really went through it with a fine-tooth comb, and we made a lot of changes throughout the process. The fact is that Portland is below average in terms of access for the to parks and natural areas. And the fact is also that we have some of the lowest SDCs in the region. And these two things are not coincidental. The fact is that the people with the worst access, you can correlate that with ethnicity and economic income. We just have not kept up with growth. And I live in one of those neighborhoods. I live in King Neighborhood, where the park that we share is not much bigger than this room, probably 2 to 3 times the size of that room. It's crowded, and it's always overcrowded. But I see our neighborhood redeveloping. I don't see us addressing these inequities. We wouldn't dream of building a new development without access to water or sewers. We wouldn't tell people, go use the bathroom in another neighborhood or go use the street. But when we talk about parks, we're increasingly doing exactly that. We're relegating our children to driving to places to have access to parks and nature or to using vacant lots and the sidewalks. We strongly support this proposal. 75% recovery rate would be great, but that's not actually what we have here. What we have here really is a 59% recovery rate, and we have it phased in over the course of 2 years. When you take out the affordable housing exemption, which we do support, it's only 59%, and the other 41% is going to have to be made up by the community at large. We're also going to have to join together to find a way to make up the deficits that exist from the past because we had such low SDCs. So this doesn't solve the problem, but at least it helps us keep pace with growing development. The citizens spoke in 2001 when we developed Parks 2020, and they spoke very eloquently to the need for parks and developed specific targets. This was a community-developed plan for what we thought would create a livable and healthy community going forward. And it's time to listen to these voices and decide whether they're going to meet this mandate, because the choice before us today is whether we are going to achieve that vision or not. And I just want to read from the first paragraph of the executive summary, because I think it sums it up very, very well. This is from Parks 2020. We have the park system we have today because of a legacy of leadership and public support from the past. It took bold action and foresight to set aside the first park blocks and later the forest tracks when Portland was only a small town. Each generation has to recommit its own share of energy and resources to keep the system growing and responsive to the emerging needs. Now it's our turn. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, Commissioners, my name is Mike Houck. I'm Executive Director of the Urban Green Spaces Institute. I'm a member of the Park Board and served on the SDC committee as well. I've been involved in Portland Park issues since I was a graduate student at Portland State University in 1970, so that's 38 years. I've had the opportunity to observe the evolution of the park system. And I'll have to tell you that at the time I got involved, some on council, I won't name names, and the Park Bureau intended to fill Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge for the Children's Museum, for soccer fields, for baseball fields. And I'm pleased to say that in the intervening years, Portland Parks has come back to the Olmstedian vision that John Charles Olmsted articulated in 1903, where natural areas are an essential element of a healthy park system. And I have to say, I want to thank publicly Zeri Santner in particular for creating the City Nature Program and re-emphasizing the importance of natural areas and access to nature to the city of Portland. And I was struck by Zeri and Robin's presentation today. I know a lot about this issue, and when I saw the images in particular and the representation of the trails, where the money is going to be spent, where growth is going to occur, I was very impressed with that, and I think we're very fortunate to have professionals. Our park system may be below some other standards, but the professionalism in the Park Bureau certainly is not. You acknowledge that parks are an essential part of the city's infrastructure by creating it as an infrastructure bureau. This is an opportunity to walk the walk, as opposed to our simply articulating that. Let's make that real and think about parks as a critical part of the infrastructure, just as we do with BES and water. This SDC package is essential to continuing improving Portland's park system so that it is truly a world-class system. It also responds, I think, to each of your interests. Commissioner Leonard, I want to thank you publicly for offering up the hydro parks. They were taken out of the inventory, and for what you've done on Powell Butte. That's an incredibly important partnership. But the fact of the matter is, I grew up in Outer Southeast, 72nd Place. I mentioned this last time. The nearest place I had to go was to bicycle up to Mount Scott, as I recall, to actually have access to some open space. It is critical to pass the SDC so that we're addressing the growth that, in fact, that graphic indicated is occurring. Vision PDX, as I mentioned last time, high on one of the highest values that Portland has put is on the park system. Sustainable city, I know, Commissioner Saltzman, that is a passion of yours, and clearly passing these SDCs to provide the green infrastructure to address environmental issues is crucial. And finally, Commissioner Sten, you know, we have an affordable housing exemption, but the fact of the matter is those folks, and Linda Robinson speaks eloquently to this point, those folks especially need access to parks. And without these SDCs to respond to the growth that's going to occur in Outer East and Northeast Portland, those folks will not have access to parks. So we hope you adopt the proposal as it is. I'm one of the 100% people, by the way, and it is an incredible compromise we've made. And it's not a tripling of the rate. It's more like a doubling of the actual result of the methodology that was developed. Thank you very much.
Next three are Robert Jordan, Mary Walker, and Greg Peden. They'll be followed by Matt Clark, Marion Haynes, and Beverly Bookin.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
My name is Robert Jordan. I'm here speaking for the Sullivan's Gulch Corridor Trail Committee, and I will be brief. We wish to speak in favor of the acceptance of the staff report and the imposition of system development charges to ensure that currently underserved areas of the city are raised to the park standard that is widely supposed to be characteristic of the city as a whole. We especially believe that a sound fiscal underpinning is necessary for the acquisition and development of trail right-of-ways such as ours that will link the green areas of the city with one another, provide additional opportunities for bicycle and pedestrian recreation, and relieve pressure on our roads by providing safe alternative non-automotive commuter routes. Adoption of SDCs is in all of our interests. Please vote to support them. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and the councilors. My name is Mary Walker, and I'm a member of the Friends of Powell Butte Nature Park. The Friends are strongly in support of increased system development charges for all new development, new parks, and play fields. They are necessary. In Outer East Portland, infill is going on with small lots, apartments, and condos. There are no places for children to play except in the streets. While a 75% SDC does add to the cost of new construction, the people will have the facilities close by to use. In the long run, the community will thank you, Mayor Potter and commissioners.
Mayor Potter, members of the commission, my name is Greg Peden. I am a registered lobbyist. I'm here this afternoon representing BOMA, the Building Owners and Managers Association. Let me first start by saying that BOMA can support an SDC on commercial development. However, we've got some significant concerns about the proposal that is before you today. Our main concern is focused on the methodology that would appear to us that we got to the numbers that we did. And what I'm referring to specifically are the average daily use or availability of parks to people who live outside of the city, who work in the city, essentially many of the employees of our member businesses downtown and elsewhere throughout the city. I think you are familiar with those numbers, but just as an example, one of those numbers would show an average daily availability of four hours a day during the summer months. During the weekday, breaking down to 1 hour before work, 1 hour during meals or break, and 2 hours after work. That seems like an arbitrary dynamic to us in terms of the reality of the average person working anywhere and the time that they can afford to spend in a park in the city of Portland or any other park on a daily basis. The numbers are availability, which, again, I would strikes us as doubly odd that they show for a weekend usage a zero time availability on a summer weekend. That seems counterintuitive to us, that more than anything likely, a person would likely to come downtown on a weekend to spend, say, a couple hours hiking in Forest Park than they would before work or during the lunch hour. Finally, I would say that in response to the proposal that we just saw from the Parks Bureau, that we are concerned about the ambitious nature of the 2020 plan, that it is a very aggressive plan identifying specific targets of acreage in downtown, for example, where we'd like to see parks built. Combine the two, that we think this is somewhat of an arbitrary targeted number on employees of our members, and how we get to what seems to be an ambitious plan. We're unsure of how all those numbers work and can't support the proposal at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Our Matt Clark, Marion Haynes, and Beverly Bookin. They'll be followed by Jim McCauley, Larry Jones, and Linda Robinson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Matt Clark. I'm the executive director of the Johnson Creek Watershed Council. Johnson Creek Watershed is at a critical juncture at this time. On one hand, it faces intense development pressure. It also has some wonderful momentum in terms of open space preservation. And I would cite the recent acquisition on Clatsop Butte, the Waterleaf property. As an example of that momentum, and I applaud the commission and thank you for supporting that purchase. The SDC increase is critical to maintain the momentum that we have. Decision on SDC increase will influence the direction of the watershed at this critical time, and see the increase as a tool to achieve the goals of the 2020 vision. I would point out from that map that there are 184 acres in Johnson Creek watershed. So with that, I will conclude, and thanks for the opportunity to testify in support of the SDC increase.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Marion Haynes, and I'm a lobbyist with the Portland Business Alliance. I want to thank Commissioner Salzman and the park staff for all of the work that's gone into this. It has been a tremendous effort. I also want to give our appreciation to some of the modifications that have been made based on the conversations in the last couple of months, specifically the change related to applying the fee only to new development or increases in floor area. That is a significant help, particularly to small businesses. Unfortunately, that doesn't solve the whole problem, and we're not going to be able to support the proposal in front of you today. And really, that comes down to two basic reasons. The first is related to some of the methodology and the assumptions that went into the building the proposal, as was indicated by Greg Peden. Concerns about, you know, jumping from availability to demand. And then also the issue of the inventory. And you heard in the opening remarks about a lot of the changes that were made to the inventory. There was a lot of discussion in the committee about this. And, you know, do you include hydro parks? Do you include schools? What does this all mean? How do they all work? And I think, as you heard from Robin, the parks is undertaking a tremendous effort coming up here soon to really understand the needs. They were able to get at that demand and what the true need was for the golf courses. And we think we really need to have that same level of analysis on the basic park system, and that we'll achieve a better result in the end. And we should take the time to really understand the need and how the system is being used before we put a charge like this in place. Our second concern is just related to the overall recovery rate. On business, going from 0 to 75 is a significant increase, particularly for Central City development. We recognize that resources are scarce, and there's a growing pressure on SDCs as a way to fund a lot of critical services that the city needs to apply. The cumulative impact of all of this is significant. Just comparing SDC rates across jurisdictions is not enough. Portland has some other costs built into development here that they don't have in other cities, like the BLF. If you're in the central city, having to do underground parking, some of those charges are over and above SDCs, and so it's hard to make direct comparisons between Portland and the outlying jurisdictions. At some point, we do need a nexus between the fees and charges and what the market can support. So business does support parks. We understand we have a role to play, and we're happy to do that, but we're unable to support this particular recovery rate. Thanks.
Good afternoon. I am Beverly Bookin, and I represent the Commercial Real Estate Economic Coalition, CREEC, and served as a member on the task force on behalf of CREEC. As I testified in December, CREEC recognizes the policy and legal basis for extending the Parks SDC to non-residential development to spread the capital costs of building new parks and recreation facilities. We also commend the Parks Bureau and Commissioner Saltzman for revising the program that was prevented initially. Was presented initially, and a great number of concessions were made. However, we still have some serious concerns, and these are similar to the ones that Marion has outlined. With regard to downtown non-residential development, the SDC rate is still about $1,000 per 1,000 square feet of new office development, or $1 a square foot. A new office building today costs about $35 a square foot to build in terms of the need, the rent that's needed to cover that cost, but rents are only $28. So we already have a $7 per square foot gap. And this is why office development in downtown Portland has been practically dead on arrival for the last several years. It is also important to note that the way that this is structured deals a double whammy to downtown development, non-residential development. In the outer areas of Portland, the rate per employee is only $160, or less than half than the $370 proposed in downtown. And also, the densities per 1,000 square feet are lower. So, for example, 100,000 square foot industrial plant in Northwest Portland or the Columbia Corridor Association would have SDCs in the range of about $20,000. A comparable 100,000 square foot office building would have an SDC of $100,000. We ask also that with this particular segment of the proposal, the downtown non-residential piece, that we do one of two things, or both. One is to revisit the methodology, both to look at the assumptions about how non-residential employees use the space, use parks, and also to look at the assumption of the level of service, to see if we can bring that per employee rate in the central city down to a more acceptable number, and or consider the reducing of the 75% recovery rate, say, to in the realm of about 40%. And this is the proposal that CREEC would put on the table as a way to make this more acceptable to our constituents. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we are Jim McCauley, Larry Jones, and Linda Robinson.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name when you speak. You each have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor Potter. For the record, Jim McCauley, registered lobbyist with Homebuilder Association in Metro Portland. We've had a chance, as you know, to comment as well as work through the advisory committee process on this for the last several months and actually circulated a letter, so I don't want to go into too much detail. But for us, this still comes down to concern over the phasing in. We appreciate the effort from Parks Department as well as leadership from Commissioner Saltzman to phase this in. We would ask for an additional year to help deal with essentially what becomes a doubling of the SDC in 2010. So carry that out for one additional year for a phase in to at least lessen the impact a bit more. We don't think you're going to lose anything in terms of opportunities for investment by that additional year as well. It's great to see, actually, Parks in their opening presentation talking about this inventory in a much more serious mode. That was one of our concerns throughout the advisory committee process and at the December meeting, was to make sure that that lands inventory that was being done is extensive, considers all the surplus lands that are out there. We appreciate the addition of the hydro lands into that overall formula. But there's still a couple of other areas to go. I think we need to continue to give the school system a serious consideration, and it also appears from the presentation from Parks that they're going to be looking at that. We would like a commitment so that once that inventory is done, once they've taken a look, a serious look at some partnerships with the schools, that they do take another look at the methodology and possibly look at a rate restructuring of that at some point in the future. That's going to be important for us as we go through this process. Our folks have a difficult time supporting the package as it's presented right now, but I think if you make some of those additional changes with, again, a partnership with the schools, making sure that the lands inventory as well as the long-range plan reflects some of those partnerships, as well as an additional year of phasing in, it's going to be able to make it a little bit more palatable in a very difficult housing market that we're faced with at this point in time. Thank you very much.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Larry Jones. I don't represent anyone but myself, but felt strongly enough about this particular, what I feel to be well thought out proposal and plan to come down and let you know that I support it. And would very much like to have you pass it as it is. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Linda Robinson. I was a member of the SDC task force as well, and represent citizens, and particularly in Outer East Portland. I want to thank the Park Bureau and Commissioner Saltzman for some of the changes that they've made in response to issues that were raised in the December hearing. I think it was particularly a good idea to the decision to apply it only to new construction for the commercial, you know, makes a lot of sense. I know that was a real bone of contention. And I think they've been quite responsive to the comments that were made and the questions that came up. You know, parks are a critical part of the city infrastructure. And as we get more dense and we've got a lot of infill going on, it becomes more and more important to keep the livability of the city. And I will, as Mike Houck says, wax elegant on the affordable housing issue. One of the concerns that I've expressed many times in the task force and elsewhere is that we have parts of the city where a very high proportion of the new housing being built is considered affordable housing. We have some sections in the city where more than 50%, and all of those are exempt from park SDCs. Other areas are 30% or more, so that really does bring down the amount of money available. But these people in many ways are the people who need the parks. Many of them are moving into condos or moving into apartments, more dense housing. They don't have any along the light rail lines where there's no, you know, there's a limited places to park. There's also not even parking lots in many of these buildings along the light rail. So they need the parks. And so we need to make it high enough that we can actually collect enough SDCs percentage that we can actually build and provide the parks that they need. Finally, there have been several comments about wanting to delay things or until more study is done. It's my understanding that this is reviewed. The methodology is changed and reviewed every 2 years, or at least it started every 2 years, and it takes a year or so to do it. And so this needs study, this inventory issues with the school, all of these will be important inputs into the next round of review of the SDC methodology and rate determination. So I urge you to pass the measure as it is.
Thanks, folks.
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Any further discussion from council? This is a non-emergency and moves to
If I could just say one thing. I forgot in my opening remarks to really thank, once again, all the task force members who participated in this. And I also want to thank the Parks Bureau, particularly Robin Grimwade and Riley Whitcomb and Zeri Santner for their sense of work on this. Commissioner Adams is not here today, but he wanted me to say that he will support this next week and vote to move it ahead. So thanks, everybody.
It's not an emergency. It moves to a second reading. We're adjourned until next week.